This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. On today's show, Title IX at 45. But first, Tracy Brumfield knows how hard it is to access information in jail. She was once incarcerated and now she's publishing a newspaper. As the People's Liberty 2017 Hale Fellow, she created RISE, Reenter into Society Empowered. It's the first ever newspaper to circulate in the Hamilton County Justice Center. And here to talk about RISE are founder Tracy Brumfield, team manager Cherie Allen, and jail chaplain and founder of Art for All People, Sarah Hellman. You can join us at 513-419-7100. You can email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Tracy, Cherie, and Sarah, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
Thanks a lot, Mark.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Sarah, start the story off. How did you get involved in this project?
Thanks, Mark. It's real obvious to me that we're all here today because of the goodness of God. And I'm a director of a ministry called Art for All People, and I began it under the idea that people suffer and art heals. So I work with people who are affected by incarceration, addiction, homelessness. I work with veterans, psychiatric patients. And Tracy was interested in volunteering, so we first volunteered together at the Cat House, the Center for Addiction Treatment, not Meow Cat. And then from there, we had a conversation, and she told me how she just had a calling to work with the inmates. So she came with me for a while and devoted a lot of time listening one-on-one with the inmates. And I told her, and we would say, you know, I would talk to her, I said, you know, don't underestimate the power of kind words or looking someone in the eye or holding their hand and just saying a quiet prayer to their God, whoever that God is. And she was just a shining star. The women took to her. And then she has this idea, this brilliant idea. And I said, I think I know a pile of cash out there that might help you with this idea. So it was just magic since then, and she's going strong.
And that was People's Liberty of the Hale Foundation. So you took her to, you introduced them to them. Tracy, pick it up from there.
So I had told Sarah about this idea. I had to bring reentry resources into the jail. We were working with the women in the heroin recovery pod, but that's 16 women. But you have about 1,500 people in the Justice Center that weren't getting programming or reentry resources. And so the only way to possibly get in there and do that would be through a printed piece. So I thought about having a newspaper. And I told Sarah about the idea and said, what do you think? Because she had been working in there for a while. And she said, I think it's a great idea. There's an organization called People's Liberty that fund projects like that. So I was like, okay. So literally that day I went home and looked up People's Liberty, and the Hale Fellowship application window was open, and it had about 10 days left in order to apply for the fellowship. So they offer one-on-one appointments that you can go in and talk to them and see if your project is, you know, something they would fund and how to apply. You can ask them any questions. So I went down and I met with them, and absolutely said something that they would fund. So I spent 9 of those 10 days going back over my application about 1,000 times, and had help from Joy Pearson, who was actually at the time the interim director for reentry. And I found out about 2 weeks later that I was a finalist, and 2 weeks after that, I found out that I won the $100,000 Hale Fellowship.
How big a surprise was that to you?
There's video of me crying and jumping up and down finding this out. It was beyond overwhelming. It is life-changing. As a fellowship and sabbatical, you have to quit whatever job you're working. You have to devote the entire year to making this project come to life, and I was more than happy to do that.
And I just want to say something to people listening who might be in a season of struggle to really just latch on to Tracy's story. Because here we had somebody who went through addiction herself, you know, and here she is now running a newspaper. Here she is now being this person who can disseminate all of this wonderful knowledge. So our story is never over.
No, yeah, and the jail is, I think, one of those places I consider ground zero, where someone is just at their lowest point, you know, not only maybe suffering from the disease of addiction, but possibly chronic homelessness or untreated mental illness or a myriad of other things, but now you have a criminal charge, which creates a larger barrier to reentering back into your community. So because I had also experienced incarceration, I knew how hard that struggle is. So it was just something I felt really called to do. This life of purpose is what keeps me sober and keeps me motivated. And I've been blessed with the funding and the resources from People's Liberty to
And Tracy, the idea behind RISE is to be a resource?
Absolutely. RISE does stand for Reenter Into Society Empowered, and it is about providing vital reentry resources, whether it's how to get employment, a place where you can – there's basically four pillars to RISE that I consider. Any great foundation has four pillars, and that's healthcare, which can include anything from primary care to substance abuse treatment, employment – getting employment with this criminal charge, education, GED, and getting housing. I mean, housing, I think, is the number one thing. You know, when people come out, do you have someone somewhere safe to go? Do you have a place to go? And from there, you can job seek, get treatment. So without those four basic foundations, it's hard to build a life of purpose and to be a part of the community.
Now, does the heroin epidemic we're having in our area, does that make this all the more important, Tracy?
Well, I think it's a huge part of it. We have a lot of people suffering from this disease, and accordingly, as a consequence, we're seeing a whole new wave of people that are getting arrested for possession, whether it's of paraphernalia or drugs, and they're going through the justice center. They're coming through the criminal justice system. So behind that, we're creating a whole new wave of people struggling with reentry. So absolutely, it is a huge factor in it.
Sheree, tell us about your role in this.
Thanks, Mark. Yeah, I met Tracy through People's Liberty, just yet another example of the amazing networking that happens there. Our mutual acquaintance, Megan Trishler, had posted that Tracy, one of the fellows, was looking for someone to help out. And in the interview process, Tracy realized that the job, the position she was looking to fill wasn't just for one person, that it was a team that she needed. And I came in as manager of this team to delegate responsibility for each issue. We're launching our first issue this month.
Woo! Super excited.
And we're going to have 5 issues following that in the next 5 months. So sort of my role in that is connected to my passion for what Tracy is doing and for what Sarah is doing, because I'm an art therapist. So I really believe in art for all people and just the power of visual and creative arts of all kinds for healing, and that's the reason that we do it in the first place. So in essence, creating this newspaper and all the writers that, you know, Tracy's hired, we're doing that in ourselves. It is therapeutic for us to be able to help people.
We also have what we're calling an interactive corner. So not just listing resources, but we are telling stories of hope, inspiration, that recovery is possible, that a life even with the barriers of criminal charges or substance abuse history, that you can positively return to your community. So we do have something in the paper called an interactive corner, where we are challenging people to think about, you know, how to heal, where to go from where they're at, how they rise, the act of rising up, basically. You know, how do you go from where you're at to getting in a place like I have gotten? I mean, if I can do it, anyone can do it.
And ironically, Tracy and I just painted a mural in the jail of a phoenix rising from the ashes, and above it, it said, rise up. So again, it's just so providential. And I do want to just say a good thank you to the sheriff's office for this opportunity, and also thank you to them for allowing me to bring programs that can bring spiritual healing to the inmates.
Yeah, absolutely. Without the cooperation of the sheriff's office and being willing not only to try programming within the Justice Center and not just detain people, but to try to offer programming, but to allow something like this to take place, it is the absolute linchpin of why I'm able to do this. So their cooperation and support has been huge.
Is the paper subject to approval by anybody in the sheriff's department?
Absolutely. Okay. Although it will be distributed outside the jail as well, and we'll have hopefully a large presence in the community, because it is for the currently incarcerated, they do have approval as to, you know, all the text. They did sign off on it. But, you know, I didn't anticipate really any issues. You know, everything's really positive. And so, but yeah, that is absolutely correct.
How many people are on the staff, Sheree?
We have what's called the Core Four, our team, Tracy, myself, our lead designer, Chelsea, who's running around taking photos right now, who's wonderful, and our editor, Kyle Stone. And then apart from that, we have a growing team of writers and volunteers helping us out. So we hope to even expand that beyond what we have right now.
And I've heard it said this is not a one-way newspaper. This is rather interactive.
Correct. We want it to be as interactive as possible. We want the inmates' feedback. We want next issue, issue two, we're featuring a story from someone. So we want them, we have different opportunities for them to write in and let us know, this is helpful, but we are looking for more of this, and then we'll adjust accordingly because it really is for the inmates.
Yeah, there's an internal way that inmates can communicate with staff, and so we are using that conduit for them to write in and give us their feedback about RISE, submit their artwork, submit their poetry, submit
give
their
you story ideas. And
absolutely,
like
absolutely.
And if I could just paint a picture of what maybe the daily life looked like in the jail. So they have very little enrichment. They have one TV in a pod that serves 50 people, so they don't really have an opportunity for enrichment for reading. And so what RISE is going to do is it's going to plant some seeds of hope. It's going to be encouraging. And when you're in that dark place in life, those encouraging words, you can do it. When you have something larger to think about, it helps you increase the vision you have of yourself. And our hope is that the inmates are not going to see themselves as their mistake or their addiction, but they're going to enlarge the vision that they have of themselves through the literature that RISE will provide.
Yeah, and Sarah, to clarify, the difference between prison and jail. Jail is what, they're serving a shorter sentence typically? Or
it's typically shorter. So jail is more of a holding place, and from jail you either go to prison or you'll be released. So prison, you have a lot more opportunities for education and programs like that. We're in jail because of the short-term nature, but I've known women in there for 3 years, so the short-term nature of jail, there's just less enrichment.
But, yeah, and also, Mark, to your earlier comment about the heroin problem and how that affects this whole thing, is that we're seeing these low-level crimes of possession now serving out their time in the Justice Center or being put on probation and possibly violating and coming back in and out of jail. Very few of them are going to prison to serve out their sentences because our prisons are overcrowded. So we are seeing people in jail who are spending 6, 7, 8 months in there. So, you know, there is some time going on in there, and there is no enrichment. There is no programming.
And I've noticed with the inmates, people like Tracy and me and anybody who tries to work with them, they're in such a good place to receive this information because there are so few distractions for them. That's another reason why RISE is just a home run idea.
We will continue our conversation. You can join us at 513-419-7100. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. We're talking about Reenter into Society Empowered, the first ever newspaper to circulate in the Hamilton County Justice Center. And here to discuss RISE are founder Tracy Brumfield, team manager Cherie Allen, and jail chaplain and founder of Art for All People, Sarah Hellman. You can join us at 513-419-7100. You can email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. Tracy, how do you see RISE helping to reduce recidivism?
That's a good question, Mark. I think by providing resources, you know, hopefully individuals will have the opportunity to do something differently. My goal for RISE is basically I have three goals. For those who are sitting in there completely hopeless, who've never really thought about changing anything, I hope we plant a seed. I hope for those who have been maybe looking and thinking about getting help, we provide a bridge to those getting those resources. And to those who have been in and out and trying recovery and relapsing, I hope that we are providing a message of courage to keep trying, that recovery is possible, and that to do something differently. They say in recovery, all you got to change is everything. So,
big task, right?
No big task. And it's true. You truly have to change everything. And that's scary. But for me, I was more scared of staying the same than I was of doing something different and changing everything.
513-419-7100 to join us. And let's talk to Stuart. Hi, Stuart.
Hey, yes, my name's Stuart. I'm the director and CEO for Transforming Jail Ministries.
Hi, Stuart.
I know Sarah
Hi.
Well. Hey, how are you guys?
Good.
I just wanted to add to this conversation that for anyone who is involved with a religious community, whether regardless of the religious background, if you want to be involved in the jail to help out with these sorts of programs, because they're doing an awesome job, and we could always use more people. We actually have an adult jail chaplaincy course, which I think Sarah may have been through in
yes.
the past, coming up here in September. And so if you, again, are a part of a religious community that would like to be in the jail doing ministry, then please visit our website at www.tjmi.org. Again, we're going to have that class starting up in September.
Great. Thanks, Stuart.
Yeah, thanks, Stuart.
Thank you.
Again, 513-419-7100, and let's talk to Amy. Hi, Amy.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Good. I was just calling to encourage the ladies. I just tapped into the conversation less than 10 minutes ago, but my son, about 5 years ago, went through drug court from a heroin addiction, and there was nothing available. He almost dropped out of drug court. Because there was nothing, no other resources available to them. As they said, the books were a minimum. It's a lot of downtime. They have nothing to do. He was thinking that prison was better than just being in jail.
Because, we hear that a lot. We hear that a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks for sharing that, Amy. That's actually what's my story is I caught a charge in 2010, and I was put through drug court. But because of the limitation of the kind of treatment you can get that's mandated through drug court, I was unable to complete it. And I was actually sentenced to 6 months in prison. And I spent 6 months in prison because I wasn't able to complete the diversion program.
Sheree, you've got your first edition coming out shortly. Give us a preview. What's going to be in this?
Our first addiction is based on addiction is based on addiction and recovery. And we have a wide array of stories featuring different organizations that we really believe in, some of which Tracy has actually taken advantage of and used their services. So that's Cat House, which was mentioned earlier. That's Art for All People with Sarah, Addiction Services Council. But we also have the interactive corner that I really want to emphasize. We want as much feedback about this interactive corner as possible because the idea behind that is really to break the stigma and to just give people that extra little nudge in the direction of taking control of their lives and self-help and self-care and the importance of that. And if you just do something every day, whatever it is for you, whether it's 10 minutes of meditation, prayer, drawing, writing, and you're thinking and you're starting to think about your goals in your life differently, that can make all the difference. And I know Tracy has experienced that personally, but I think we're going to continue with that interactive corner to kind of develop that as the next few editions come out.
Yes, Sarah.
And I love the idea of the interactive corner. And I want to talk to anybody listening today who is still suffering from addiction or perhaps you're in recovery. There is tremendous power in sharing your story because when we share our story with others, we heal ourselves and others can be healed through our stories. So this interactive bit, it's going to be great.
Yeah, and the first feature is my story. I felt it was really important to be transparent about who I am, where I've been, what I'm going through, what I did go through, and why I'm doing this and why I'm motivated to do this. And I hope that it speaks to those currently inside that not only is recovery possible, but that this isn't the end of the world. We do recover.
So how many editions will you be putting out?
Six over the next six months,
okay.
And then we'll continue beyond that. I think the eventual goal is that we'll expand beyond Hamilton County as well to other nearby counties.
Yeah, we'll definitely be looking for continued funding after this fellowship year. We're hoping to, as Sherry said, replicate to other correctional facilities. Every county has its own jail, and every county has its own set of resources. I can't be a Hamilton County resident and reach out to Claremont County and get their resources. So I think it's really important that every facility have access to the reentry resources in their community.
So how unique is what you're doing? I mean, are there any other jails across the nation that are doing anything
Mark,
like this?
If there are, I haven't found them. I looked extensively to see if there were any so that I could look at their model, see what they were doing, but I have not found one. So the innovativeness of it, I hope, is speaking to people. And I hope that every jail across the country looks at this as a way to provide reentry resources to everybody incarcerated, whereas maybe before they were just struggling with seeing the same people come in and out, and the revolving door issue and the recidivism that we spoke of, that this could be a way to break the cycle by providing the help and resources and by giving them interactive things to do to begin to start thinking of where they've been and where they want to go.
Yeah, and I just wanted to add, I can't say enough about the power of peer mentorship, and that's a big thing that we're featuring in this first issue, because we have HOPE, the Claremont County Peer Mentor Program, as a featured story, and there are just certain things that, you know, myself as a therapist or anyone as a layperson who hasn't been incarcerated, who hasn't experienced these things, we can do all we can, but it's not the same as actually having gone through that experience. And the power of seeing a peer who is a couple steps more evolved and more advanced in the recovery process is huge. So we really want to try to encourage that piece and get those peer mentors in the newspaper.
That's really important, Sheree, because actually peer support specialists, there's a certification process in Ohio that you can go through to be a certified peer mentor, which I signed up for, but it's going on in Cincinnati actually this week, so I wasn't able to participate. You're being hired. People are being hired to be peer support specialists. They're now being included in treatment teams. Their voices are being heard more when others in the community, like Sheree said, who haven't walked that path, to give them that perspective. And there's still, whether it's NAAA, this peer, that there's no one path to recovery, and that peer mentorship, one addict helping another, is super huge.
Very powerful. Very powerful approach. Seeing somebody who made it out of the fire alive. It's very powerful.
And was that part of your thinking here too, Tracy, that you could put yourself out there as an example to
That's
others?
That's absolutely true. That's why I continue to go into jail every Sunday and meet with as many women who want to meet, and I sit down with them one-on-one. And there's been a lot of people attracted to that model. They don't get counseling. They don't get one-on-one attention. And when I say, I'm a recovering heroin addict, it kind of lights up. There's something in them that says, hey, wait a minute. You're coming in here with a badge, and you're in recovery. So that means you've done something right, and that
and
I'm
trusting. And they do listen to her. They do.
Yeah, I've had a few women. Actually, we're going to be featuring one of the women that I worked with for months. She's currently out, currently going through reentry issues, and she's going to actually probably be our feature story for issue two.
Yeah, any thoughts about, is this available online first? And if not, is there any thought of taking it online?
Absolutely. We're going to make a digital edition available on www.riseupnews.org. You can go and read about my story, read about our team, read about our project, be a part, be a volunteer, contribute. And when the first edition comes out, as Sheree said, next week, you'll also be able to read and see it.
So you've got all six planned out? Are you that far out, Sheree?
We are getting there.
But you've at least got the first few
have,
planned out.
Yeah, we have the topics of all six planned out, and we're currently working about two issues out to assign specific articles to specific writers, and just sort of delegate and work with Chelsea, our designer, on what actually fits, because as it turns out, there are many more stories that would fit into each issue than we can actually include. So
yeah, that's important, because the jail, anything that you knew you introduce into this culture, you have to do very meticulously and slowly. So they have relegated us for the first issue, at least, and I think probably issue two as well, to just four pages, which is small. But I think we're trying to pack as much power and punch as we can into that format. Hopefully it'll grow. But as Sheree said, we're finding we actually have more topics than we have space. So we're doing our best to pick the most powerful ones. I'm funded for this year, and I thought that a reasonable amount would be six issues to do in this fellowship year.
Do you have any local companies that are sponsoring or advertising with you?
No. This is completely funded by the People's Liberty Hale Fellowship. And so we're not looking to go with that model, I don't think, moving forward. But I don't know. I'm open. Could apply for a nonprofit. We could be sponsored by another nonprofit. We're not sure which way we're going to go in the future. We're going to have to see who responds and which way would be the best for RISE.
And I'm just wondering, has word started to get around the Justice Center that this is coming, that this publication is going to be coming out soon?
I don't think so, no.
Okay.
Because when I started and had this idea and was applying for the fellowship, the women in the recovery pod were all very aware of it and were very excited. And
In fact, the day she found out she got the grant, I was teaching art and spirituality, and she comes in with this great face, and she says, "We did it, we got it," and all the inmates and the women were jumping up, crying, hugging Tracy. It was so beautiful.
It was beautiful, and I don't think any of those women are still actually in there. They've gotten out and gone their separate ways. But so I think it'll be interesting to see their response. You know, I did go into the men's reentry pod. They did start a reentry pod of men, I believe 10, and I did tell them about it. I took an NA meeting in there with Tyler Schmidt, who does, he gives grants to people coming out to get their first couple weeks of sober living paid. He's amazing. He's going to be in our next issue. And so I told them about it. They seem interested. I tried to ask them, like, what are their biggest concerns coming back out? And a lot of them said employment. So,
With employment, I just want to give a shout out to Nehemiah Manufacturing.
And Beacon of Hope.
And Beacon of Hope, who hires second chance hires. So they help people with records find employment.
Yeah, we got a lot of great agencies. We are resource rich in Cincinnati. There's no doubt about it. The only problem is that the individuals who could really benefit from those resources oftentimes don't know about
them.
Right.
They don't know which direction to head. With RISE, they will have phone numbers and addresses of places they can go, which is so powerful.
Yeah, absolutely. From emergency shelter when you walk out the door to getting an ID, getting clothing, getting food, a safe place to stay long term. These are the main things that we believe a person coming out is going to need. And giving that information, we hope, is going to be very powerful.
Tracy, Cherie, and Sarah, thank you for joining us this afternoon.
Our pleasure.
Thanks, Mark.
Good luck on this.
Mark, thank you so much. And if I can, just shout out to our launch party, August 31st.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
We said we'd talk about that.
Yeah.
August 31st? At People's Liberty?
Yep, at People's Liberty from 6 to 9 p.m. Come out. Check out the first issue. We're going to be talking. Some of the agencies are going to be there. You can ask questions. It's going to be a great time.
RISE founder Tracy Brumfield, team manager Cherie Allen, and jail chaplain and founder of Art for All People, Sarah Hellman. Coming up, we'll talk about Title IX's impact on colleges and universities. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.